This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rop and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's 4:03 on The Fan with Rop and Suk.
That's the bottom line, damn it.
That is the bottom line, damn it. We're here because we weren't here yesterday, and we feel bad, so we thought we'd come in today.
We thought about doing an extra show, but the boss said no.
We podcast our show yesterday. It's
a secret podcast, yeah, though. It's like a speakeasy. It's a whole thing.
You got to know the code. And
you got to really work hard.
But we did do a great show.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Maybe the best we've ever done.
It's likely. Coming up this hour, we'll give away Wizard World VIP passes. Comic-Con is on Friday, and we'll have in the news more storm news.
Yeah, I've seen this. They're calling this, what, the storm of the century?
Yes, that's right. And we're going to get to All-Star Game talk, I promise, but one other thing, we just can't seem to get over the hump and get there because more things continue to come up, but blown away by this, did not know this. Had not heard anything about this. Somebody texted the Better You Today text line 55305. Horrifying fact, Martell Webster's mother was a victim of the Green River Killer.
Now, I don't think that's been confirmed. I remember when he was here that
you
was...
You remember that?
There was something that was brought up about that. I think it's one of... So he, like I said, I think 49 have been confirmed, but he's suspected of 90 plus, and I think she falls into that category where
they're not certain. This says his mother Cora disappeared in 1990.
Yeah.
He was 4 and her body was never found. Gary Ridgway, a serial killer who murdered dozens of women and girls in Washington during the 80s and 90s, is thought to be responsible for her killing. He said the usually animated, well, this is from Basketball Insider.
Mm-hmm.
The usually animated Webster gets quiet when asked about her. And he takes a moment before answering. He says, there's a part of me that says she's still alive. Maybe she just wasn't ready or was overwhelmed. There's closure. I just hope that wherever she is, she's peaceful. So, yeah, he didn't.
Yeah, no one. There's never really been a body, but you know, it's one of those when you disappear, when you've got someone that's doing it that frequently and someone goes missing that fits the profile from the area. And, you know, I think there is a natural assumption that more than likely that's what happened.
Yeah. Well, that's crazy. I did not know that. And so he was raised, you know, he's from Seattle, of course, but he was raised by his grandmother.
You don't remember that?
I remember him. I knew he was from Seattle, and I remember the grandmother thing. I do not remember the mom thing.
Yeah. Well.
But then again, I don't remember a lot. Well, you know.
Who really does? I don't know why, but that one.
You remember that little nugget?
I do remember that nugget. But I've told you before.
It's a jarring nugget.
I've got a weird... I watch a lot of those things.
You do.
I'm fascinated
by
that.
It's because you are one.
No.
You're not, secretly a serial killer?
Not that I know of.
We'll see.
lot of time still to let this play out, right?
What do you mean? What does that mean?
I'm young.
Boy, that's a cryptic statement.
I'm looking right...
Does that mean you're going to kill 90 people in the next 40 years?
I'm looking right at you.
Why would you kill me?
You know, be afraid.
I'll kill you first.
What is the Hannibal Lecter, right? You covet what you see every day. What do I see every day? You. I see you
stalling for time.
This is very awkward, and I'm just playing it so that it stops.
Why?
Because now I'm uncomfortable.
It's weird that we're both threatening to kill one another. Why is that weird?
Now I'm looking at you, Mike.
You're going down too, Mike. You just made
the list, buddy.
Hey,
Pay no attention to a stalling for time.
It says, congratulations. You have won a VIP Comic-Con prize package.
All right. I have?
No.
Oh, damn it.
503-250-1080. Fifth caller right now. 503-250-1080. You win two weekend admissions passes. That's 3 day. It's a 3 day area.
Yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's a big con.
Two promo pack VIP badges with early entry. That gets you ahead of the lines.
Yeah, the masses, if you will.
That's Saturday and Sunday. And a photo op with Wizard World celebrity Melissa Benoist.
I don't know who that is, but let's go ahead and say that that's awesome.
And they're saying here two people can be in that photo.
Ooh, that's a three photo. That's a three-way. The menage of the photos.
Yeah, Melissa Benoist. I think she might be from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Is she a hot?
I don't know. You can Google that.
What's her name?
I want to say it's Benoist, but I feel like maybe I'm pronouncing that incorrectly.
Well, I see it right
Melissa
here.
Benoist.
Let's see what she's got going on.
She is. Oh, sorry. She's from Supergirl. Slash.
I think she is Supergirl.
Glee.
She
remember
is.
Glee?
She is indeed. I can confirm. A hot. B. She's Supergirl.
So you get VIP lines for autographs, VIP lines for photo ops, VIP seating at programming sessions when those are available. So gear up for a fun-filled weekend because Wizard World Portland is at the Oregon Convention Center beginning of Friday, and our show will be out there on Friday to broadcast live. Also, what was my also?
I don't know. I don't know where you were going with that.
I can't remember. Well, oh, we're going to give away another VIP thing tomorrow and on Thursday, too.
There you go. And then come by and join us for the con on Friday. Good times will be had.
Yeah.
It really gets pretty loose. So.
Oh, the Comic-Con show, you never know what's going to happen.
No, it's Thunderdome.
Yeah, and I don't know. Yeah, well, they keep inviting us back. I'm not sure why, but we'll be there.
We're not asking questions. We'll be there with bells on.
So did you watch All-Star Weekend?
I did not watch All-Star Weekend.
What? Why not?
I saw a little bit of the three-point contest.
So you
which,
did?
Well. Yeah, I guess.
Jason Harris. Is that his name? Jason Harris?
Yeah, who won the three-point.
Joe Harris.
Joe.
He reminded me of a guy who won a contest to be out there.
They just went and got the guy from the stands?
Yeah. He had a big bro-y beard, and it's like, I don't remember him from Washington State at all, and I don't watch the Brooklyn Nets, and so I had no idea who he was.
No.
And he torched Steph Curry.
It was the damnedest thing. I saw a little bit of the three-point contest. I watched a little bit of the All-Star game. I didn't see any of the dunk contest and any of the other stuff, like the skills competition.
You didn't see the highlight of the Diallo dunk over Shaq?
Well, I saw the highlights, but...
Well, there you go. See, that's all All-Star Weekend is I turned it in one time. I tuned in one time, and Kenny the Jet Smith, that's his name, right?
Yes.
From TNT, was playing Pop a Shot with a rapper.
And that was?
Well, that was what was on there.
Okay.
And I immediately turned away. My point is that NBA All-Star Weekend is something that, for a guy like me, I just catch the highlights on SportsCenter.
Yeah.
Because they'll show you everything you need to know. They'll cut through all the crappy-ass fluff, and there's a lot of it, and show you the cool stuff. One, Joe Harris beating Steph Curry in the three-point contest. Damian Lillard did not win.
No. I don't think
he got... Nor did Seth Curry.
He didn't get out of the first round. I don't think he even advanced.
And then the other was Diallo, the guy from Oklahoma City whom you couldn't pick out of a lineup.
No.
He dunked over Shaq.
Yeah, but Shaq's like head was bent down, and he used his arm to kind of push over the top. He did do the Vince Carter, like the
he did elbow hang, which was pretty awesome.
I don't know, man.
But
I,
that's your other highlight.
I saw the highlights.
No, sorry, there's one other highlight.
What do you got?
Well, the other highlight was from so when I tuned into the game, I was mostly watching golf on Sunday, of course.
Yeah,
but and playing golf. But when I tuned into the game, I immediately tune out. I mean, you watch a play and you're like, oh my God, this is horrible, right? I mean, it's horrible.
I don't mind.
They don't play a lick of defense and stupid.
But I don't mind the All-Star game because I think it's, as long as you just watch it for entertainment, I think some of the stuff that goes on, like Steph Curry had a bounce pass dunk.
Well, that's what I was getting at. That was the next highlight. Those are the three highlights. You need the Diallo dunk. You need the Joe Harris thing.
By the way, Joe Harris played at Virginia, not Washington State.
Oh, I thought they said he played with the Cougs.
No. I'm looking here, and that's Virginia, my man.
Well, that would be why I don't remember him from the Cougs.
No.
And then the third was Steph Curry's bounce off. He bounced past over Kevin Durant. He bounced the ball off of the hardwood. That's what they play on. And it goes over Durant. and alley-oops to Giannis, who one-hand dunks it.
It was ridiculous.
That was awesome.
I saw the part I watched was a little bit in the third quarter when Lillard went off. That was kind of fun to watch.
I liked seeing the reactions of the bench.
Yeah. Steph Curry had a great deep three where Klay Thompson knocked him down and then had the great, like, just disgusted look. And Curry got up and taunted him a little bit. I mean, I watched for 15, 20 minutes. I think the All-Star game's kind of fun. Of the All-Star games, I think the NBA one is the most entertaining. I think it's fun to watch the guys kind of go up and down, and I don't know, no one's playing to lick a defense, but it's fun to watch to see what the freak athletes can do and watch guys bomb away. I wouldn't watch the whole thing, but if I had to watch one in person, I might go with that. I'd probably pick baseball just because I like being at a baseball game.
For me, it's MLB, but these guys, so I guess Harris is from the state of Washington is what they were trying to say.
Okay.
Also, Tony Bennett, now coach at Virginia, formerly coach of Washington State. Maybe there was a bit of a statement said there, too.
Because he's coach at Virginia.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I don't know. I have a hard time with All-Star Weekend, but I will say it has become, in the NBA circles, in the NBA world, they have really built that into a thing where, I mean, everybody is.
It is a scene or it is a scene sort of thing. And that's the other thing is like I saw on, what is the internet? Am I saying that correctly? Or is it the Google machine?
Yeah. Most people say internet. But.
The internet. They said for like the fashion world and like the sneaker, that it's the sneaker game. It's like the biggest weekend of the year. There's so many of these NBA guys now that are huge like fashionistas and like different, what do they call, social media influencers.
Yep.
And then the sneaker, it's a $1 billion industry that has become the place to go where all the rappers, all the hip hop guys, everyone shows up and it is just, it's a huge deal.
You think they should have that here? You think that would work if they came here with that thing?
You hear all the time that we don't have the space for it, so it's a moot point. I guess there's certain.
Well, no, they're building that big hotel.
Yeah, I guess if we get the big hotel, right?
It's coming.
Well, if that happens, I would love to see it. I think it'd be great.
Here's Lillard on the All-Star game coming to Portland.
I think it should come to Portland because Portland is a great city. I think it would be a nice change up. You know, usually I feel like it's been in the same cities a lot. And, you know, it would be cool just to see it in the city that I play in, you know, in a good city. And it would also be a great opportunity for people to see that it's probably not how you think it is. You know, a lot of people think a certain way about Portland, but they haven't really experienced it. So I think if it was a 4-day weekend where people just was in Portland and they had a chance to get out and see things and experience the city, they would think different of it.
Except that it's in February.
Yeah, and it's kind of crappy, and chances are it's going to be rainy and dark. But we got strip clubs, man.
That's
and we
true.
Got a lot of them.
Yeah, that's and they could bring, you know, they could kind of fluff that up a little bit with some Vegas girls or something for the weekend. Because they usually do,
we're probably going to have to do that, right? No offense
Charlotte
to the local
did.
Talent, but we got to up the game.
Yeah, no offense,
there.
Ladies, but come on.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. I could see that going one of two ways. I think it would be cool if they had it because it really is a big deal in the NBA world.
Uh-huh.
A lot of influential people would be rolling through here, and I think that would be great for the city. And I do think he's right that a lot of them would look at it and go, oh, you know, this place is all right.
Or a lot of people would look at it and go, I can't get anywhere in traffic. The weather sucks. It's cold. It's rainy. It's dark. And there's no cool clubs.
Well, the flip side of it to me would be that it would be an embarrassment. Everybody would just be bitching about it, and then it'd just be like, oh, no.
Like when Jackson,
why did we even try
like when
this?
Jacksonville got the Super Bowl?
I don't remember that.
It was bad. Like, they just, it got murdered.
But than Indy?
More than Indy. I think everyone took a big steaming dumper right on Jacksonville and was like, yeah, that was bad. So I don't know. I just.
Well, I'd like to see him try
I would it. Like to see it. I would like to see it come here. And I think the city hopefully would roll out the red carpet for it. I don't know how that would go. I think that's a cross your fingers and hope for the best. But if you get the hotel, supposedly that's what you've been told.
Hotel rooms.
Is the hotel rooms, you have to have one central hotel that's able to house everyone that the NBA wants. And apparently we don't have that inside the city, and that is why we don't get one.
All right, a little Gil Coliseum talk coming up next on The Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, that's right. Hope you guys enjoyed the Justin Timberlake show last night. Tell you what, still my wife, man. Like, if you... So she didn't go, and I didn't go, and you didn't go.
No.
Mike didn't go. Nobody went. But I did see, you know, if you follow people, you know, on social media, like, oh, hey, look, it's me at Justin Timberlake. You know?
I didn't even know he was coming. And then next thing you know, yeah, it was blowing up.
But isn't it kind of nice when you get the people who show little clips, like they'll film like 45 seconds to a minute of it and then they'll put it on there?
I hate those.
I love that because it gives me just an idea, just a feel for what a Justin Timberlake show is like.
It drives me nuts that when you're at a concert that there's like 800 dumbasses holding up their shaky, crappy cell phone footage recording the show that they'll never do anything with, and it sounds terrible. I put your damn phone down and enjoy the concert.
Well, I like it from the other perspective, that they do put it on their crappy ass Instagram or whatever, and I watch it, and I'm like, oh, I feel like I got, like, I feel like I stole a minute of the Justin Timberlake show, because otherwise I'd have to pay $200 to get into that damn thing. So, yeah, I do like those. And so I thought of the Instagram videos that I saw, he was dynamite.
Well, you hear that he puts on a very good show.
Man, can he dance.
Yes. I don't know if I'm necessarily a giant fan of his music, but I think that is one of those that if you had an opportunity to go see him, you probably do, and you get blown away by him. The last guy I can remember that is Bruno Mars. Like, I don't know if I was necessarily a Bruno Mars fan, but I went and saw him in concert, and holy hell. That's one of those you just walk away with an appreciation. You're like, that's why that guy's a star.
Well, isn't Timberlake, I was telling my wife, he's a prime example of anything is possible, right? Because he was just like this NSYNC nerd and, you know, this boy band goofball.
Yeah, it's hard to break out of that.
Look at him.
Look at the rest of the NSYNC guys. Like, there's not one of them is doing a damn thing. And
man,
then
you just never know.
Well, and he's gone on, right? He's a successful actor. Like, he still produces music. And
I mean, Bill Cosby's in prison, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you just never know, man.
No. Timberlake, by all accounts, too, seems like a pretty decent dude.
So dream big, kids. You, too, can be a great comedian, but then also end up in prison.
Interesting.
It can happen.
But he loves prison. He thinks it's great.
So did you see, you didn't, because I already asked you this, the Civil War on Saturday night was pretty fun.
Yeah.
That was the Ducks and the Beavers.
I did see this one going down on social media as I was out and about, and people were just head over heels at the environment there at Gill. They were raving about that. It ended up being a really good game, and Oregon State took them down.
Yeah, it was packed in there. I watched it start to finish just because, you know, I was like, I'm going to check this out. Because, you know, the Ducks, I've watched them some this year. I haven't watched as much Beavers. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to see what this is all about here. Pac-12 basketball. I even watched a little. I tell you what, dude.
Well, Pac-12 women's basketball right now, much greater than Pac-12 men's basketball.
Well, I watched a little. I am starting to pick up my Pac-12 basketball and college basketball viewing in general.
Well, it's because there's nothing else on. So, and it's around that time of the year where you feel like you're going to be an expert because you've seen, I don't know, insert like Villanova. You see him play twice. You're like, yep, I know everything about Villanova.
Well, I feel like I need to cram on some teams, right?
Sure.
Like I watched Kentucky, Tennessee.
I did see part of that.
You know, it's like, all right, I'm going to get caught up here.
Kentucky was number one, Tennessee was number one, which was strange. And then...
well, they're really good.
Yeah, Kentucky gave them the business, though.
But yeah, Kentucky really punched them in the mouth. Anyway, the Pac-12, I can confirm, and this will not shock you, I can confirm that the Pac-12 is an absolute train wreck.
Yeah, it's
not good. It is really bad. Like, I watched a little bit of Washington. Washington State was on, and I even saw some Stanford-UCLA. Are you kidding me? Slap me right now. I watched it.
You watched Stanford-UCLA?
Yes, some of it.
Now you can stop watching the Pac-12 play basketball.
God, no kidding.
Because I've tried to watch Pac-12 men's basketball this year.
It's bad.
Outside of Washington, Oregon State's having a nice year.
No, that's what I was getting at. Let me finish before you talk about your Pac-12 basketball experience.
Yeah.
The thing I was getting at there was I've seen enough of the teams. I watched Arizona State a few times. I watched Washington get their ass kicked by Arizona State. I thought that was the first time I'd seen Washington. I'm like, oh my God, this is the team that's dominating the Pac-12. They're horrible.
That was their first conference loss. See, I've seen Washington play, two, maybe two and a half times. And
they're not good.
Washington has looked good every time I've seen them play.
Anyway.
Because that's your only tournament team right now.
The team that looks the best to me is Oregon State.
Yeah.
I mean, they they have a stud scorer in Tinkle, and Thompson's pretty good too. And they just, they're the one team. And again, I haven't seen all the games. I've only seen a handful of teams here and there. So take it for what it's worth. But just watching that league, they are actually a treat to watch because they're well coached. You know, they play well. They got bigs that kind of stay in their lane, and you can tell they're just really well coached. They're kind of fun. And Tinkle's a fun player to watch. God, the Ducks have more talent than the Beavers, but oh my God, they are, you can't watch them.
No.
Have you tried to watch them?
I've seen Oregon play, same thing. Oh, but
it's
I've seen Oregon play probably three or four times this year. And when I say see them play, you watch at least, you know, 15 to 20 minutes of the game. Oregon is the most undisciplined and just Jekyll and Hyde. And I guess after this latest one, Altman went up and down the roster and just kind of laid into everyone and said to what each player has to do in order to play better. And here's the thing. A lot of times with Oregon, it's the upperclassmen that kind of melt down. It's not even just the freshmen.
They have zero offense.
No.
Like, I mean zero. Peyton Pritchard is their quarterback, essentially, and he's not great. And it's just, it is really, really, really hard to watch them. King, the freshman, that guy is legit and shows flashes. Outside of that, I don't know how Duck fans even watch Oregon
play. But he's
still
raw and isn't like a dominant force
out
there.
But you can see, like, wow, that guy is going to be good. As a matter of fact, I looked at NBADraft.net today. You know what it says about him?
What does it say?
22 next year to the Blazers.
Aha!
How about that?
So that's the same sort of trajectory, right? Just those playoff experienced guys ready to make an impact right now.
Tell you what, he can shoot. He's big. Long, he's interesting, but the Ducks have more talent than the Beavers, and the Beavers just ran circles around them in the second half. And so, I don't know, maybe it goes back to my old man college basketball ways, where I just like the well-coached teams more than I like to watch just, you know, although the Duke's well-coached, so it's not a good example, but I just don't like to watch. I still respect the college game because I do like watching the college coaches work. The elite ones are good. Their teams are fundamentally sound. I like watching a little bit of defense even. I like, call me crazy.
See, and I don't necessarily,
I don't mind any of that stuff. I still think the college basketball product is poor.
Yeah. Because sometimes when you're watching it, it doesn't seem like great defense. It seems like they're playing hard defense and it seems like you're playing really bad and undisciplined offense.
Well, it just depends on who you're watching. I'm just saying in general, college basketball sucks. It's gone downhill a big time over the last 10 to 15 years. And you can see that. But at the same time, they're still, if you watch the elite teams, watch Duke play. They're a treat to watch. You know, there are, Gonzaga's fun to watch. Yep. You know, there are still good products amongst the college basketball, the generally bad product that it is. But I thought, and again, I haven't watched a ton of Oregon State. I thought Oregon State was a treat to watch on Saturday night. And when you look and you watch the Pac-12, there ain't any treats in that league, dude.
No.
It's not good.
But Joe Lenardi put out a bracketology today. Washington in as like a 7 seed. Mm-hmm. Arizona State as the last team in. So it's one or two team or two bid conference this year for the Pac-12.
Unless someone wins the tournament. Because exactly. Washington will get in. Washington's in.
Whoever wins the Pac-12 tournament's in.
Yes.
So it could be the Beavs. That's what I'm saying.
If someone knocks off Washington, you could get two. If not, there's a chance if Washington wins it, there's a chance that it's a one bid conference. And if you want to see good basketball, you need to go over to the ladies' side.
I didn't watch any of it.
The women's basketball right now, a lot better in the Pac-12 than on the men's side.
Well, it is compared to the rest of the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. I don't know if you're going to get me to sit down and watch a lot of ladies' college basketball, but the Pac-12 sucks. However, Oregon State, Gil Coliseum was electric, and it was cool to see that again because how many times you flip over and see that they're on and flip them on and go, oh, my God, no one cares.
Nope.
There's no energy. You know, who was that guy? John Jay. Those years.
I remember the John Jay years.
I mean, they've had a lot of...
Well, even under Craig Robinson, right? It's just the CBA. Yeah. What is there? Is it the CIT and all the other
random CIT appearances,
crappy things they have. It's nice to see Oregon State again having it matter.
They're well coached. It sounds like they've got more upperclassmen, you know, more guys that have been around that are a little bit more seasoned, which you could tell when you watch them play against a team like Oregon with that raw just.
But even that's what I said. Even like a guy like Pritchard, who's been around, was supposed to be the stabilizing force.
I'm sorry, he is not good.
No. And that's what I'm saying, that, like, you know, that's what you were expecting, especially after Bol Bol goes down, that maybe he's a guy that can right the ship and steady it, and it just hasn't happened.
All right, well, congrats to the Beavs. They beat the Ducks. Clean sweep.
Yeah.
And it was a little hairy in the first half, But in the second half, they figured it out and tinkled all over them.
The Oregon State Tinklers.
They torched them. All right, coming up next, it's time for In the News. But first, Mike with sports.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're cruising right along here. It's Tuesday. We weren't here yesterday. If you tuned in, we always get the obligatory tweet.
Did you get fired?
Hey, where are you guys at?
Holiday.
Holiday, dude.
By the way, not John Jay, Jay John.
Oh, yeah.
Two first names.
Jay John, former Lute Olson assistant. I remember when they hired him.
Yeah, he used to come on the air and he'd get all red-assed and...
He was an angry man.
Boy, he was.
And he was terrible.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Oh, my God.
It was all kinds of bad.
Did you see Lute Olson had a stroke?
No.
Over the weekend, he's recovering. He made it through, but he had a stroke. Yeah. You know, he's in his mid-80s.
Yeah, I was going to say, Lute's, well, he's been gone for a while.
Yeah, he was a treat.
Yes, he was.
He was so good.
Well, that was the last time that Pac-12 basketball really had a big-time program.
Yep.
I mean, they were rolling. I guess UCLA had the, I mean, they went to what? Did they go to 3 straight Final Fours?
Yes.
Yeah. So
with Ben Hallen.
Yeah, they didn't win one, but, I mean, UCLA had it rolling. But Lute Olson had Arizona, yeah. And they're the last Pac-12 team to win a national championship. And that was, to me, the last time it felt like the Pac-12 had a real national power.
Did you see they're talking about Tony Bennett to UCLA?
No.
Did you read that?
Why would he go back to UCLA?
He may not, but apparently the reports are they've put the full-court press on him, and he has yet to say no.
Well, you got it rolling at Virginia, right? You've clearly proven that you can win there and build a national power. UCLA, I mean, I don't think it's a great job, outside of having a name to it anymore. I just don't know what that exactly does for you. And it's not like UCLA is known as a school that opens up the pocketbook and gives you everything you need to win.
Sounds to me like the UCLA football and basketball jobs are both overrated.
Yeah.
It's not that great of a job, man.
No. Again,
on either side.
At least with basketball, there's an unbelievable tradition there, although that may end up being a bad thing because maybe you're held to an unrealistic expectation of the past.
All right, February 19th, 2019. Time for the news. I'm your noted newsman. Today is International Tug of War Day.
Oh, really?
Do you like a good tug of war, Jace?
I can't tell you the last time I played tug of war. We used to have to do that with, like, stupid football camps. Like, in between, like, smoking cigarettes and, like, looking at, like, a nudie mag, you had to go out and, like, do some sort of tough guy.
It's like default team building exercise type thing.
Let's all pull together. Pull a rope.
Because this shows that in sales, we can all pull together, even though I want to stab your back and take your accounts.
Yeah. Do you, I can't see any scenario in my life where I would participate at my age in a tug of war.
The only thing I can think of is maybe like a little charity. You know, sometimes they have those fun runs and they have little activities and those charity deals.
Like a Spartan sort of race thing. Eh, I'm good.
I'd be on the injured list.
Yeah, I feel like my knee at that point would be a little wonky. Sorry, guys. It's not napping.
It is also National Chocolate Mint Day, and chocolate mint is delicious. You have to admit.
That's fantastic. Now, I'm not a huge chocolate fan. I've said that on the program many times. Mm-hmm. But chocolate mixed with something else, the Andes Mint to me is the perfect chocolate mint.
Aren't those delicious?
Yeah.
Those are delicious.
And whenever you go to a restaurant and they give you an Andes Mint, it just feels like it takes the experience from good to great.
Would you rather have the Andes Mint or the old Pizza Hut peppermints?
Because
I'd probably go Pizza Hut peppermints.
No, my mint power ranking, while I do enjoy the Pizza Hut mints, it's going to go Andes and then the butter mints, like those kind that like just dissolve in your mouth. They're called butter mints, you know what I mean?
No. I don't know those.
I don't know how to describe it. It's a mint, and it's not hard, and it's not soft. Kind of somewhere in the middle.
Is it white?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it just
like dissolves in your mouth. I freaking love those.
Yeah, they have those at Langdon Farms.
Yes, the butter mint. Yes, exactly. Yeah, they do have
right
them at
there
Langdon
at the
Farms.
Hostess stand.
Right when you check in.
What about York peppermint patties?
There you go.
It's down the list for me.
Oh, again, that's good. That's close.
Andes, butter mints.
Mike's not having your.
Well, it's just that's a strange opinion. If you like chocolate and mint together, then. Wouldn't Andes and York peppermint patties be close to each other?
Yeah, don't be so strange.
No, the Andy to me, the Andes mints blows away the York peppermint patty.
And don't forget mint chocolate chip ice cream.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Is that, I mean, come on, that's one of the best ice cream flavors there is, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty great.
If you don't like mint chocolate chip ice cream, you're Nazi.
Yeah, no question.
That's just wrong.
Right.
It's the wrong opinion.
You voted for Hitler.
Yes. Although I don't think anyone voted for him. I think he just kind of...
No, you did. I think if you don't like it, you voted for him.
Now, this might be because of this is the ice cream place where I grew up, but Mint Chocolate Chip had green ice cream and the chocolate chips. I've seen it with white ice cream as well,
and
the color.
I don't know if there's a difference in flavor.
There's not.
It's got to be the green.
I prefer it with the green just for looks.
I feel like when you have the green, it feels mintier. I feel like I'm getting cheated when I have the white mint chocolate chip.
39 of 48 contiguous U.S. states will be hit by a massive storm.
Yes.
They're saying this will affect 200 million people.
And floods everywhere.
Well, yeah, so the further south you go, it's going to be torrential downpours. Then you get into the mid-layer where it's like freezing rain, you know, the wintry mix. And then you get into the northern states where it's snow.
Is this hitting us, do we know?
Well, no, it's every state east of the Mississippi.
Oh, well then.
Which is not us.
I'm fine.
Are there, by chance, three other superstorms slowly converging with this one to create the day after tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
That was four superstorms.
Yeah, that all came together. The Voltron of storms.
Yes.
Four mini storms forming one superstorm.
Yeah, they're saying every state east of the Mississippi will be touched by this storm. The worst is due tomorrow. Snow, ice, sleet, flooding, pandemonium. Stock up on your kale. It's going to be bad. Winter weather alerts from Arizona all the way to New Jersey. Man. And there's snow in Vegas.
Oh. Well, that's kind of... I don't know what to make of that. Now, is this going to be like a dusting, or are we going to get like snow?
No, there is. There's already snow there.
How often does that
happen?
People
are building snowmen there.
Really? A little snowball fight down at the Vegas pool? Nothing will shut Vegas down. Nothing.
Yeah, I wonder if the hotties are still bouncing their boobs around down there.
I'd like to think so.
Little mittens on.
Yeah, they'll put on like some furry boots and like a hat and the mittens.
Furry hat.
And then go out in the string bikini.
DJ, hey. Show must go on.
DJ ain't going to stop spinning those tunes.
KATU news anchor Steve Dunn was on Who Wants to Be a Billionaire?
A billionaire? I think you missed that.
No, I was saying billionaire.
Oh.
That's how What's-His-Nuts used to say.
Yeah, but he's not on there anymore.
Who Wants to Be a Billionaire?
Oh, is it the former View lady? Is she still on there?
Yes.
I didn't know.
Meredith Vieira.
I didn't know, by the way, that was still a thing.
It is still a thing, and it's Play It Forward Week. Where they are putting ABC news anchors, local news anchors across the U.S. on it. So there's a guy from Vegas, L.A., Fresno, Houston, and Steve Dunn was on it last night.
Now, does he have to play for charity, or does he get to?
Yes. No, it's for charity.
Can I tell you something? I think that's a little.
Yeah, that's right.
Like Steve Dunn should be able to win money for Steve Dunn.
Yes.
I mean, I get that it's a charity angle, but let's not act like Steve Dunn, if he wins $1 million, is like whatever.
Right.
Yeah, give it away.
Dude,
I'm sure he would go.
He would do cartwheels.
Yes.
Yes, I hear what you're saying.
We know what local media members make. Steve Dunn isn't like Scrooge McDuck here.
Is it Steve Dean? It might be Steve Dean. Is it Dean? Steve Dean?
Ooh, I don't know. There's
the guy from KATU.
No, it's Steve Dunn.
It's spelled Dunn, but it might be Dean.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure it's Steve Dunn.
Because then there's the columnist at the Oregonian. That's Steve Dean. D-E-I-N, I think.
Oh, I always thought it was Steve Dunn.
I think so, too. I don't know. Look, I hate to say this.
You guys are the experts.
Joe Donlin was my guy.
Yeah, or Jeff Gianola. Ken Boddy.
I met Steve once out at the reserve. Nice guy.
But I'll tell you what, if it's not Steve Dunn, then I'm blown away.
It might be Steve Dean.
I have always assumed that it's Steve Dunn.
But he's the guy on KATU, right?
Yeah.
With Deb Knapp doing the news. Anyway, he won $11,000 for Meals on Wheels last night.
He only won 11 grand? I don't think that's very good.
Well, okay, that's originally what I thought, but that's actually quite a few questions. I mean, it starts at 500, then it goes to 1,000.
Yes,
but
the first four questions are like
hold
gimmies.
On. Just hold on. It starts at 500, then it goes to 1,000, then it goes to 3,000, 5,000, 7,000, and then 10,000. How he won 11, I have no idea how he got the extra 1,000 on there. But then after the $10,000 question, it goes to 20, you know, like 30, and then, you know, so on. But here, okay, see, I thought he got hit with some hard questions. So one of his questions, this was like the $1,000 one, was a dark stout with notes of chocolate. Fudgy the Bear was created by a New York brewery in partnership with what ice cream franchise?
Fudgy the Stout? Ben and Jerry's?
Fudgy the Bear.
Ben and Jerry's?
No. Carvel? Carvel?
That was the question?
That was one of his easier questions. That was hard. He got that one right.
I guess it's multiple choice, but still, that's...
Yeah, get this one. This was an easier one, too. He said, they asked him, known as the People's Mountain, 6,217-foot Mount Naradnaya, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that.
Sure.
Is the highest peak in what mountain range that forms much of the border between Europe and Asia?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And he called his lifeline down, and they got this one right, too. It was the Ural Mountains.
Boy, and that's the low question?
Again, these are before $10,000.
Allow me, and by
now,
the way...
Fudgy the Whale and Carvel are really well known, but it's more
Fudgy
of
the Bear.
Either way, they make cakes that have names like that, but I think it's more of an East Coast chain.
I've never heard of them.
No. I've never heard of
Fudgy.
And
then here's the one that he missed.
And by the way, it is Steve Dunn. The reporter is Steve Dunn. The columnist is Steve Dean.
And it's spelled D-E-I-N, I think.
Yes, but the one you're talking about
is
here...
Steve Dunn.
The reporter is Steve Dunn.
Okay. And here's the question that got him. See if you can get this, big smart Jason.
I missed the first two.
Who is Nasser bin Oludara Jones?
What?
And his choices were a famous rapper, the Sultan of Brunei,
uh-huh.
A co-founder of YouTube, or the world's fastest man.
I'm going to go ahead and say rapper because I believe that's Nas. Nasir Jones.
I have no idea. Sultan of Brunei. I don't know. I got nothing, man.
A rapper.
That's Nas?
That is indeed Nas.
Wow.
And he missed that. So he won. He ended up winning 11,000.
And Steve Dunn is...
That's not easy,
no,
man.
That's not easy. Because normally...
I remember the first four questions being the easiest thing of all time.
Yeah.
Totally.
Like this
like
15 word
years
starts
ago,
with the letter A.
I mean, I don't think they like to give money to charity.
I guess.
Apparently.
And this is for charity? Come on, ABC.
For Meals on Wheels, yeah. So he got 11
up.
G's. Now he did say that he did qualify it. I saw him on his newscast. He was saying, well, we only got two hours of sleep the night before. Because they filmed it in August in Vegas.
Steve, you got nothing to hang your head about, buddy. That's a wicked pissa right there.
How do you feel about lane splitting? Let's talk about that coming up next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, this is in the news for February 19th. We've got your Hot 5 at 5 waiting in the wings. That will be coming up next. And very exciting Major League Baseball free agency news today. If you're just getting in your car or just turning on your radio. Now, I did a little homework before we get to lane splitting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Joe, our buddy Joe Donlin moved on to the great WGN in Chicago.
Yes.
To the great TV station in the sky. And he has moved onward and upward out of Portland.
Rest in peace, Joe Donlin.
Yes. Very dead.
No, I'm just like, you know.
Although I talked to him the other day. He's doing great.
Yeah.
He loves it.
I hope he's getting some rest. That's all I'm saying. He invited us out, though, to go to a White Sox game.
He lives downtown, you know, because that's what you do.
Yeah.
He's and
a downtown man.
He walks everywhere. He's like, dude, I'm eating and drinking like a king. He's like, WGN's like the real deal, man.
Chicago's a great city.
It's like we're small time compared to, you know, like because we talk about the media business, you know.
Yeah.
And Portland's cool, but Portland's a great city. I just mean as a media market.
Sure.
It ain't nothing on freaking. He's like, dude, we got like 7 people working on my show. Because I don't do anything. I kick up my feet. They hand me the news to read, and I get on there, and I put my big old head on the tube, and I look pretty, and it's game over.
Got his makeup, got a stylist.
Yeah, he's got it all.
Yeah.
He's like, man, these people are great.
It's good to be Joe Dunn.
And WGN's famous, you know. So that leaves Steve Dunn and Jeff Gianola in terms of male. Nobody ever talks about the female news anchors that have been here a long time, which is very sexist.
Tracy Barry's retiring.
Yeah. And Laurel Porter's been on a long time. Deb Knapp. There's a lot of great ones, but in terms of there's something about the male lead anchor with the nightly news, you know? Steve Dunn is on Channel 2, and then Jeff Gianola is on 6.
Yeah, he's on Coin. Jeff Gianola, whose name just to me sounds like news credibility.
Now, Gianola, now they, we think of them as our guys, right?
Yeah.
But neither of them are from here.
No. Well, Donlin wasn't either.
No, Donlin's a St. Louis boy.
Yeah.
Gianola's from San Diego. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
And then I can't tell where Steve Dunn's from, but it says he went to Central Michigan University.
So he's my guess Michigan is boy. If you went to Central Michigan, I'm going to go ahead and say you're from Michigan. I don't think many people travel across the country to go to Central Michigan.
But Gianola got here in 1983.
I've been here a long time.
And Dunn got here in 1986. Well, and they're still on the air.
It also shows you something about Portland in that people like to live here.
Hell yeah,
I'm
man.
Sure both of those guys have had opportunities to move on.
Very unique market in that way.
Yeah.
All right. Where were we?
I don't know. You were talking about lane splitting, I believe.
Oh, yeah. How do you feel about lane splitting? That's where the motorcycles split the cars while you're stuck in traffic, you know?
Oh, yeah. I don't mind that.
What do you think about that?
I mean,
we got a new law on the books. Well, we don't have a new law on the books. They're discussing putting a new law on the books.
Because you can't do that, right? That is legal.
No.
Oh,
you,
no?
You can in California.
I see people do it and it never, I don't know, it doesn't bother me.
I thought it was legal if the traffic was going a certain speed or under.
It is not legal.
Okay.
From what I gather.
Whatever, because I
see. But they're trying to make it legal.
I say, I see it all the time. And I never get mad. In fact, I always do the, well, good for you, man.
I feel like.
You can navigate this, more power to you.
Yeah, to me, that's one of the advantages of riding a motorcycle is you don't really have to sit in traffic.
No, here's the thing is like, you have a chance to die a lot greater than the rest of us. And, you know, if you're willing to take that risk. Sure, during traffic, split the lanes if you can.
I do think some of them are quite rude about it.
Yes.
Like, they're flying in through there too fast or, like, you know, it's like, come on, man. Just, like, take a little time with it, you know?
But again, this
instead
is...
Instead of being super samurai guy?
I feel the same way because I ride my little bicycle as opposed to the motorcycle. And I feel the same way about both bicyclists or bicyclists and motorcycle guys. You can be a jackass all you want, and it doesn't bother me because I'm not the one risking my life. If you're going to be a jackass and you're going to be swerving in and out and you happen to collide with me or we get in a wreck, it's not me that's the one suffering it. I mean, yeah, I got to go through some insurance. My car's a little dinged up. You can die. So I try not to get mad at those people. I just kind of shake my head and be like, how stupid are you that you're risking your life to get somewhere a little bit faster?
Yeah, and some people point out, like, I was watching a story on this, a news story, and they were saying, one person, they were interviewing drivers, you know how they do. And one woman said, well, I'm stuck in traffic, why shouldn't they?
See, and that's the part, is you shouldn't be like that. All that is that you're not pissed about anything other than it's a jealousy thing, right? You're like, that person, why should they get to go? Because they're not driving a car.
It's never really bothered
me. You can get on a motorcycle, too.
It's never really bothered me either, except that it does not seem too safe, depending on, you know, if cars are moving in and out of lanes and like, you're flying through there. So here's the deal. Oregon could be the second state to allow lane splitting by motorcycles when traffic is slow. California is the only state where it's legal.
Oh, see, I see this all the time, and I thought it was legit. I've never seen anyone pulled over for it.
So they would be limited to only being allowed to do it when traffic is slowed to 10 miles per hour or slower.
Yeah.
And it has to be on roads where the speed limit is 50 miles per hour over.
So it's freeway.
Basically.
Yeah.
And they can only go 20 miles per hour or slower when doing it. So you can get caught speeding doing it.
All right, that, again, I just think that makes sense.
But, you know, the studies, they interview, there's a bunch of advocates that, you know, like motorcycle people that are like, oh, this is the greatest idea ever. And one gets us off the roads, you know, we'll get out of your way.
Sure.
Don't worry about us. And, they are saying that the studies show that it is safer to have them lane split and get out of the way.
Just as opposed to sitting there in stop and go traffic.
Yes.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Be responsible about it. Don't be a jackass. But again, it's not your life that they are putting in jeopardy. Again, if a motorcycle hits you in this sort of situation, you're not dying from it. The guy on the motorcycle is. So if they want to risk it, hey, man, live and learn. It's your life.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have for In the News for February 19th, 2019. Coming up next, the Hot 5 at 5 with big baseball free agency news on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.